Welcome to Start Writing. I'm Joe Bendosky, and today we have an interview with a writer from Ireland, Brian Collins. And he has a show called Become a Writer Today, and I was interviewed on his show, and he is a nonfiction author, and he's working on a memoir about raising his families with just stories that are both funny and kind of instructive about things that he wished he'd known earlier when it came to raising his family. Along with, he writes a lot of books about the business side of writing and some of the techniques behind generating and developing creativity. And in the interview today, he talks about a few things. One, we talk a lot about dialogue in nonfiction. He's taken master classes from David Sedaris and Robert McKee, and he talks about a lot of the things he learned in those classes. And then we go into his journal and we look at some of the examples that he writes about the events of his life. And then he takes us to a chapter in the book he's working on and shows us how that then converts into a real life example. He also talks about what he's learned from his years of interviewing authors. And one of the most important takeaways he had was about how you, particularly for nonfiction writers, you're not just writing these nonfiction books, but they're building businesses around them, between offering courses and services and merchandising and all these different things to build out on this business. So it's a really good conversation, not just about if you're writing a nonfiction book or a memoir, using that tool, but also a good discussion about just the business end for writers and how you can kind of develop that. I also know that when we talked with Sandra Montaneno about dialogue, she had mentioned, always listening to different things like that. And one of the things that Brian mentions is just including dialogue in his daily journal. And for me, my kind of takeaway from this interview is that, you know, I really need to write down the great pieces of dialogue that I hear in daily conversation so that I can draw on those pieces to create great dialogue in my books. So here's the whole interview. I hope you enjoy it. I had a great time talking to Brian, and he had some great points that I was able to take away from our conversation. Brian Collins, why don't you tell us about the kind of books that you write and some of the other creative projects you're behind at the moment?
It's great to be on the show, Joseph. Sure. I'm a nonfiction author from Ireland. My background originally is I was a journalist. And I wasn't a very good journalist. In fact, I struggled to get paying work for years, and I balanced writing with some other side jobs as a care worker. I almost quit on writing, and then I said to myself, maybe I'll just try something different. Maybe I'll set up a blog. At the time, I tried to set up a blog that was like the Irish version of Lifehacker. Quickly found out it was all but impossible for one lone washed out Irish journalist to compete with a big media organization. So I shut down that blog, even though I was getting a few emails from readers about questions about some of the articles. And I said, what's the one thing I do know about? And after years of trying to become a writer, that was writing. So I set up that site, Become a Writer Today, in 2014. And that introduced me to the world of self-publishing, podcasting, blogging, copywriting, content marketing. So these days, I mostly write nonfiction. I have written fiction in the past, but I've written several business and self-help nonfiction books.
So I'm on your Amazon page, and I don't see your fiction here. I guess maybe just a short story?
I published one book of short stories back when I was learning how to self-publish it. I think it's published under a slightly different name on Amazon.
Oh, okay.
That was one of the problems I had as a fiction writer. I wasn't publishing my work. I was rewriting the same stories over and over, not getting feedback. Not working with an editor. So yeah, that was a mistake I'd made.
Okay. All right. So let's talk about your nonfiction writing. And it seems like your pursuit of becoming a writer ended up being your research for a lot of the books you've written. So maybe talk to me about some of the books you've written for writers.
When I discovered self-publishing, I originally wrote a nonfiction book that was a guide to using Twitter. I wrote 10,000 word guide, and then I said I don't want to publish an instruction manual about Twitter, so I did not go ahead with that. But I decided, you know what, I do want to self-publish a book. And at the time, because I was reading Lifehacker, I knew quite a bit about productivity, so I wrote a book about productivity for authors, and I realized that there were some mistakes in that book, so I rewrote it and then republished it. Then later I wrote a book about nonfiction writing and a book of writing prompts. And then I branched out into other genres of nonfiction. So a book about creativity, because I always love hearing about how creative people, musicians, filmmakers, screenwriters, and of course writers approach their craft. And then I wrote a nonfiction business book. And at the time of recording this interview, I'm in the final stages of getting ready to publish a memoir about becoming a dad unexpectedly when I was 24. It's kind of like a guide for new dads and all the things I wish I'd known back then.
Cool. Cool. I don't know if you've ever heard of an author named Clint Edwards. He writes a daddy blog, and he's had a couple of his articles picked up by the New York Times and whatnot, and very much a daddy blogger. And he's released a couple books where the books are just kind of expanded versions of the stories he tells about raising his kids, and very much in that venue. And I went to high school with him, which is super surprising, because when I met him in high school, like, never would have seen him becoming a writer at all.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, that's a great approach. I took a course on Masterclass by David Sedaris, and David Sedaris uses personal experiences, personal everyday experiences for his essays and for his stories. And he describes how that can become a book. So it sounds like that's something Clint Edwards is doing as well.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly what he's doing. Yeah, definitely that David Sedaris style for sure. Your book, that's this kind of memoir and everything, this is where I really want to kind of dive in for my audience, as my audience is all about writing craft. We do really deep dives with detailed examples on just anything and everything when it comes to writing. I think we're on month 8 of our discussion on dialogue. So we spend a long time on a topic.
Wow, 8 months.
Yeah. We're very thorough. You know, I don't think we've released this episode. I think it'll come out in the next couple of weeks, where we just talked about the irrelevant, relevant tangent, and how having tangents in your dialogue kind of mimics the way a real conversation is. But in any book or even in screenplays, instead of just being a random tangent, it always circles back to the conversation with a lot of impact. And so we just talked about that tool. You know, it's a very, you know, surgical tool that you'll be using in dialogue. But, you know, like I said, we try to cover everything, and we're very detailed in the examples we dig up. And so that's kind of our approach to writing craft and what we do on my podcast. So bringing that back to your memoir, I wanted to talk to you about writing dialogue in nonfiction, because I think that's incredibly complicated. You know, as one of the minds on writing that I follow points out, that if you just take a real conversation people have and write it down, it's going to be super boring and super repetitive, and it'll have a lot of tangents that never go anywhere and never come back around, and it doesn't work very well in writing. Whereas you're writing nonfiction, which means you're going to be writing about real conversations that did happen. So how do you approach that in nonfiction to both maintain the integrity of the conversation that happened and convert it into something that works in writing?
Most nonfiction should have story and dialogue in it. It's not something nonfiction authors do enough of. Boring nonfiction books tend to just overly rely on research and statistics and buzzwords. The approach I recommend using, and the one I use, is journaling. Just journal a little every day about something that happened. Write 150, 200, 300 words about a conversation you had with somebody. You don't need to remember or transcribe the conversation verbatim. You're simply capturing little things that they've said. So you're capturing the essence of their personality or the essence of what happened. That'll make it much easier when you want to turn one of those anecdotes or journal entries into a story for your nonfiction much later. And when you're writing up nonfiction and you're using dialogue in your nonfiction, it's not reporting. It's not that you have to capture 100% accurately what the person said. You simply want to capture a flavor of what they said so that you're giving their personality into the piece. And the dialogue should also reflect whatever the idea of that particular chapter or particular article is. So you're probably going to cut out a lot of fluff and filler. Certainly not going to have the ums and ahs or the small talk. You know, it would be something specific that would illustrate the point that you want to make when you get to your argument in your nonfiction.
Yeah. So I know you might not be prepared for this, but do you have like an example from your work you could cite for us?
I do. Yeah. So I mentioned that I have a parenting book coming out about kids. So what I do is sometimes I capture things that the kids say, and I will then put them into the book. I mean, kids say odd things. So I'll see if I can get you one here.
Yeah. And then I guess even more, do you have like the do you have the journal entry as a reference, or could you just maybe paraphrase maybe what the journal entry was and then give us the example that comes out of that?
Yeah. So I have a journal entry here that I haven't written this up in the latest book, but I'll give you a flavor for the type of dialogue that I'm capturing. So my daughter is 10, and right now we're going through a phase where she wants to stay up late because all our friends are up late, but then we still have to get her to go to bed in time because she's school the next day. Sometimes that turns into an argument. Sometimes it turns into just, you know, being a backwards and forwards. So I wrote up an entry that started a little bit like this. Can I have an extra half hour in my tablet? She says, all my friends are on it. Her tablet, by the way, is her Android device. I need you to turn off your tablet and go to bed. I'll have a think about it. What do you mean you're letting her have a think about it, says my wife. You're too soft with her. I certainly am not. So I march upstairs and I tell her she needs to go to bed, and I take away her tablet. Was that all right approach? I don't know. So, I mean, that's pretty rough. I don't know if I would use that for an article, but what right. I would, so if this... I was writing an article about how to talk to your kids about bedtime, or how to get your kids to go to bed on time, perhaps that could be a story I could expand on.
Yeah. So that's the journal entry. Okay. So now, so we see what a journal entry looks like. Now take us into an example from the book you're working on. And so we can see how some of that is transcribed into, you know, the actual nonfiction portrayal.
Okay. So this is the first few lines of a chapter in my new book about telling my now 15, at the time 12-year-old son about the facts of life. Did you do your homework? I asked Sam one night at dinner. Balls, he said, slapping his head. A few days later, he started dropping words like boobs into casual conversation, and if a couple kissed on television and worked their way to the bedroom, he covered his mouth and sniggered. If a sex scene appeared on TV, I followed my dad's approach. I changed the channel as fast as possible. So then the chapter progresses then through my reasoning for needing to have the sex talk with him. And then I, later on in the chapter, I describe how we're on a trip to Cape Canaveral on holidays. And I use some dialogue that I remember from that conversation with him. One of the lines is, I hear Connell's mom had a baby recently. Did he tell you much about it, Sam? No, why would he? Take off your headphones, I've got something important to tell you. I started to explain the mechanics of how sex works. And I said to him, it's not polite to go around using words like boobs and balls over dinner. He laughed. That's exactly what I'm talking about. And then the chapter goes on. So wait, I'm trying to interweave dialogue with teaching my son about sex.
That's funny. So, okay. Nice. Thank you. All right. Is there anything more you want to share or talk about this dialogue in nonfiction?
Dialogue and nonfiction is something I've spent the past year or two trying to figure out. I'm still trying to figure it out. The class or the teaching that really made a difference for me is David Sedaris's masterclass, because he shows extracts from his journal, like I've just shown there. His entries are quite a bit longer. And then he shows how his journal entries turned into pieces for his book. So it's interesting that you asked me to do that.
That's funny.
He starts a lot of his journal entries with dialogue as well. And that to me was eye-opening, because I thought, journal entry can be lots of things, but typically my journal entries were, yesterday I did XYZ or I started XYZ. So that's when I said, you know what, I'm going to start using dialogue in my journals instead and see what happens. It's a bit more work, but it's much easier to extract source material when you have the gist of a story or the start of a story there.
Huh. Interesting. Okay. Outside of David Sedaris' advice and him kind of showing you these examples, what's some of the other good direction you've gotten or guidance or something you've read about approaching dialogue in nonfiction?
A couple of years ago, I took a course by Robert McKee. He's a famous story doctor. He's worked with Pixar. He's written an excellent book on story. That's kind of like the Bible for screenwriters. And he's also recently written a book about dialogue, which I'm working my way through. But basically, he goes through dialogue in great screenplays, and he describes how it should move the plot along. And if it doesn't move the plot along or reveal what a character wants versus what a character actually deserves, then the dialogue should be cut. And he explains that dialogue is more than just filling scenes. It has to serve a purpose, and it should raise some sort of conflict or raise the stakes in key scenes in the screenplay. And that's something I've thought about, and how could you raise the stakes using dialogue in nonfiction, in essays or in book chapters?
Okay. All right. Now, I did want to mention your show, Become a Writer Today. Talk to me about why you started the podcast and what the goal is and some of the great things that have come of some of your interviews.
Well, I got to interview smart writers like you, Joseph, so that's probably been the best thing. I love talking to writers and hearing about their writing process, hearing what they're working on, and hearing about their take on the craft. The reason why I started it, well, originally it was a bit selfish. I was a freelance writer for Forbes, and I wanted to interview people for articles. What better way to create two pieces of content?
Oh, nice.
To turn an interview into a podcast. I don't write for Forbes anymore, but I found I really enjoyed podcasting. So I said, I'm going to keep doing it. I did experiment with the short form podcast where it's just me talking. But I said, you know what? That's what I do all day when I'm writing. Maybe I should spend some of the day talking to people. So I don't lose all my social skills. So I said, I'm going to interview people about their writing process for the podcast. And yeah, so I've been going about two and a half years now with the podcast. And it's great to talk to authors and hear about how they think about books, writing, storytelling, and the craft.
So over your 2 years of podcasting, what are some of the things that you learned in an interview? Be like, oh, wow, I never thought about that, but that's really going to help my work.
So I tried to keep notes about how the interview went at the end of the interview, and I'll write myself a takeaway in a file I have on my computer. Don't really do anything with them. It's more just for me to kind of internalize the interview. But some takeaways for me, all the successful nonfiction authors that I've interviewed don't rely on a single book to earn a living. They build a business around their book. So they'll have a coaching program, they'll have a course, they will consult, they will be a public speaker. Their book is just one part of their business. It's the front-facing part of their business. So that was an eye-opening for me, because I always thought that you just have to write a big book and then that's it. But no, it turns out that that's only one part of what you need to do. Another key takeaway is successful authors tend to rely on a back catalogue of work. So the more books they have, it kind of increases their surface area of look, gives them more opportunities to find readers and build an audience. So even if one book didn't work out, if you're writing for the long term, it doesn't really matter, because you're going to write another one, or you're going to rely on the long tail for that book to sell down the road. And I've interviewed a couple of authors who've described how they wrote a book 10 or 15 years ago and something came up in the news and then the book suddenly began to sell in a random country that they've never been to before. So that was a bit eye-opening too.
So
those would be two key takeaways. I suppose more tactical stuff. If somebody's listening to this and they want to find readers, I would say start an email list. All the successful authors I've talked to have email lists. That's probably been the other key takeaway.
So you mentioned that nonfiction authors, like the book is just part of their whole business plan. And you're a nonfiction author. So what is your business plan beyond the book?
I offer courses for writers, for nonfiction writers in particular. So I have something called the Savvy Nonfiction Writers Club, which teaches creatives how to earn a living, make an impact, or share their stories. I also earn an income from multiple book sales and also from affiliate promotions. So there's some writing software that I use regularly that I recommend to people on my email list, and I offer discounts. And I say that this is an affiliate link, and if they buy that software and use the discount, I get a commission. So basically building multiple income streams, which tends to be quite a profitable model as well. I've also working on the site now full time. So I've got to the point where I've been able to start a site in another related niche. And I'm working with freelance writers to create content in that niche as well.
Nice. Okay. Awesome. I think that kind of covers my questions. Was there anything you think I missed that we should really cover?
If somebody's listening to this, there are more opportunities than ever today. Or if somebody's listening to this and wondering how do I get started, I would say there are more opportunities than ever today for creatives and for writers. The internet thrives on content. You know, the problem isn't finding a place to begin. It's picking one that will work the best for you. The other thing is, if you turn up every day, over time you will attract attention for your work. It might seem difficult at first, but you will get there if you keep going. So I would say start today for listening. If you haven't got a blog or you haven't got an email list, or you're still working on a story alone in your room after work or before work or at the weekends, publish it, get feedback, and that's the quickest way you'll improve.
Yeah. Feedback was huge for my writing career. Like I was stuck. I was writing my, I think, third novel. The other two were unpublished because they were terrible. And the third one was pretty terrible too. But it wasn't until I joined a writing group and was able to get feedback on my work that I really started to improve. Cause, you know, I mean, when you're just staring at your own work in the dark, it is so hard to know what's working and what's not.
Yeah, I was in a writing group as well, and it was eye-opening when we started getting feedback from each other. And in fact, the instructor is a guy from Texas. He gave us two rules. When you're getting feedback, you can't say anything, because when a reader is reading your book, you don't get to stand over their shoulder and say, "This is what I really meant by this sentence.
This is what I really meant." Yeah.
And the second rule was, at the very end, you can ask questions about the feedback. So if you need to clarify something.
Yeah,
and that to me was eye-opening. What he left out was that you should publish your work. So I spent a long time trying to internalize all that feedback. So feedback can become a form of procrastination too. Sometimes you just got to publish and move on.
Yeah, that's true. So, all right, Brian, this was a great. Thanks for having you on today again. So he has written a multitude of books. I think you've got a trilogy on becoming a writer, right? And then another trilogy on the creative power.
I do indeed. The Become a Writer Today series, which will help you write a book and earn a living from writing, and goes through some of the ideas we talked about. I've also written a three-part series, The Power of Creativity. And I guess by the time you're listening to this, my parenting memoir should be out, which you can find on Amazon in my name. If you want a free book of writing prompts, just visit becomeawritertoday.com, or you can look for the podcast on iTunes.
So, yes. And then you do have a podcast, Become a Writer Today, which I was interviewed on, and that's kind of how we connected. And I imagine that you are always looking for more interviews. So, you can reach out to Brian as well and see if he's got room on his schedule.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter if you want to pitch me at Brian, Bryan J. Collins.
Yeah, I know as a podcaster, I am always grateful when someone reaches out to me for an interview, because then I don't have to track one down, right? And I guess I always find that people who reach out to me are more motivated. They're more likely to show up. Whereas if I have tracked down an interview, I feel like I am constantly having to remind them, and they'll forget like twice before the interview even happens that, you know, the date and the time and everything. So always great to have someone reach out instead of having to track them down.
Yeah. I would agree.
So, okay. Thank you so much for your time this morning. And I hope the book goes well when you launch it.
Thanks, Joseph.